It's a long way from a tennis court to the dangerous streets of Baghdad. But war has its own paradoxes. As Washington Post reporter David Finkel discovered, many American soldiers could hardly wait to feel firsthand the adrenaline rush of combat. But all too often, the actual experience of war turned into a nightmare. Finkel is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the book The Good Soldiers, an account of the 8 months he spent embedded with the soldiers of Battalion 216, who went to Iraq in 2007 as part of the surge. Finkel's book is an unforgettable portrait of the soldiers he met there.
I don't think there was any soldier who loved the idea of being in a war more than Adam Schumann, who, by wide acknowledgement, was one of the great soldiers in this battalion. This was Adam's third deployment. He had been in Iraq for about 1,000 days, and during the first deployment, when it was all about warfare and not counterinsurgency, which was the strategy of the surge, it was all firefights, it was all soldiering, and Adam Schumann talks about how being in a firefight was the sexiest feeling in his life.
At one point in your book, he says it was a front seat to the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it gets at where he began in all this and the journey to where he ended up. And what happened to Adam finally, if I can tell a quick story, is that there was a point early in this third deployment when there was a firefight, when snipers were afoot, and the sniper shot a soldier named Michael Emery in the back of the head on a rooftop. Critical injury. No one could quite maneuver Michael Emery down three sets of stairs so he could be taken to an aid station. So finally, the great Adam Schumann threw Michael Emery across his back in a fireman's carry and carried him down the stairs. It just so happened that the way he carried them meant that all of Michael Emery's blood went into Adam Schumann's mouth, which he kept spitting out as he went down the stairs. 6 months later, Adam Schumann was still tasting that blood, and he had reached the point where he simply couldn't be a soldier anymore. And when I caught up with him is when he was about to go home.
He was, as you say, a tough and resilient soldier. In fact, he was the one they would turn to in that situation, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And he felt terribly guilty about leaving, but he had become a bit suicidal in his thinking. He was keeping a journal. His entries were getting increasingly dark. And finally, he did the thing. He asked for help. And when people heard what was going on, they realized this very good soldier had to go home.
Were you there with him right at the end?
I was with him. I spent probably the last 2 or 3 days of his deployment with him. What I saw in front of me was a sad, guilt-ridden, great, hurt young man who had no choice but to go home.
One of the other men that you got to know in Battalion 216 was Jay March. He was another soldier who started out gung-ho, as most do, and didn't realize, I think, for quite a while how bad the war would become.
He got an idea of it, as did all the soldiers, when they first got off a helicopter in the middle of the night in eastern Baghdad. And as light broke and they looked out of a guard tower, they saw nothing but piles and piles of burning trash. And they wondered how in such a landscape they were going to find all the roadside bombs that were planted out there, specifically and deliberately, at U.S. soldiers. Then one day, one of the bombs exploded right in front of where Jay March was riding, killing a friend of his. What happened next is Jay March and some other soldiers went running and following a wire to see who had set off this roadside bomb. And it finally took them into a house and into a back room where two soldiers, Jay March was one of them, found a man who was kneeling and then turned and had a weapon in his hand. And so they fired. And Jay March watched as the man he had just shot, the bullet went in the top of his head and he fell forward. And then he sensed emotion and heard a screaming and looked to the right, and there cowering was a girl about the age of his little sister back in Ohio who had watched him shoot this man in the head. And Jay March was having a very difficult time for weeks and weeks and weeks getting the image, actually a series of images, out of his head of what his war had become. Shooting a man, seeing the man falling, looking to his right and seeing a little girl screaming and realizing the little girl had watched him shoot a man in the head.
This was a very good soldier, too. J. March was a very good soldier who was trying to do the right thing.
And continues to be a good soldier. He's still in the Army. He stuck with it. But that was the day that any kind of idealism and romanticism about what he was headed into took a true, realistic turn.
You're talking about a group of men for whom clearly you have strong feelings, who all went into this war for a variety of reasons. Some of them really looked forward to being great soldiers. Some of them really believed in the mission in Iraq. Some of them really felt that this was an act of patriotism. Some of them joined simply as a way to get out of what appeared to be a dead-end life at home. But it sounds as though what you're describing is an experience that no matter what they started with, changed them.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And it's not a surprise that war changes a person. The question becomes, how are they changed? And who are they at the end? And what are they left with? Not every soldier in this battalion was hurt, of course. Some 800 soldiers, 14 died, probably 10% received Purple Hearts for what they did. In a few cases, for some minor injuries, but in most cases, for very substantial injuries. But then there's also the mental injuries that occurred and that in some cases continue to occur. They ended up in a brutal place. I'm sure it wasn't the worst place in Baghdad, but it was far from the best. And what happened to them over their 14 months on the ground has left them really quite bruised. And over a year later, I get emails from the soldiers all the time telling me what's going on. The next one who got arrested for drunk driving, or the next one who can't seem to sleep anymore, or the next divorce case. And, you know, look, these are pretty common stories in any battalion.
And then there is the commander of Battalion 216 who has experienced all of these things with all of the men. And what is it he says? It's good?
Well, it's a lieutenant colonel named Ralph Koslerich, a very, very good tactical soldier, a bright man, and an amazingly optimistic man, which is probably a good thing when you're leading a battalion of young soldiers into a war. And every day that I was with him, Koslerich would find some reason to say the phrase, "It's all good." Even after something bad, he would just try to find the good corner in this. And it wasn't just a matter of spin. This is out-and-out belief that they were there for a valid reason. They were doing great work, and what they were doing was all good. In all the time I knew him, there was only one day, I don't think he said it. Do you mind if I tell about the day?
I suspect it's going to be when he visited the Surgical Research Burn Center in Texas.
Well, yes. What happened, this was in January 2008, and Ralph Koslerich had come home for 18 days of leave. And at the end of it, he decided to go visit his injured soldiers at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. There were probably a dozen soldiers in recuperation there, missing arms, missing legs, one case missing an eye. And then there was Duncan Crookston, who was a 19-year-old soldier who on September 4th, the previous September 4th, which happened to be the day that President Bush landed in Australia and was overheard saying to the deputy prime minister who asked about the war how well it was going, that in fact, I think the phrase was, "We're kicking ass." That was the day that in eastern Baghdad, a Humvee was hit by a roadside bomb. Three soldiers died. The fourth lost both his legs. And the fifth, Duncan Crookston, lost both legs all the way up, lost his right arm at his shoulder, lost most of his left arm, and what was left of Duncan was very badly burned. But he didn't die. He was airlifted out to Landstuhl and then finally to Bamsey in San Antonio. And I guess it would be 4 months later, Ralph Koslerich caught up with him. At that point, Duncan had endured 30 surgeries. At one point, his eyes were sutured shut because of infection. His ears had fallen off. Most of his nose had fallen off. His eyebrows were gone. His eyelids were gone. The flaps on his eyes were opened again, and what he was wearing was a set of self-misting goggles that left droplets on the inside so that anything that Duncan saw would come swimming into his view. And into his view one day came Ralph Koslerich, who looked at Duncan, or what was left of Duncan, and that was the day, instead of saying, "It's all good," he just kind of muttered, "Wow," and then he said, "Bastards," and then he went over to talk to Duncan. What happened after that? Ralph Koslerich spent time with Duncan and his great family, left the hospital, flew back to Iraq to continue the deployment, got to his office, signed on his computer, and there was a message waiting from Duncan's mother that said Duncan had finally just died.
We all know, or think we know, that war can be brutal. There isn't anybody who's going to question that. But these are stories of returning soldiers that we just don't hear very often.
Well, but I guess the point is that the stories are there, not just in this battalion, but any of them. These things happen. It's not news that war is a bad thing or that bad things happen in a war. It's just the way war goes. Nonetheless, what happened to these guys, their transition from the initial optimism they had to the men they turned into 14 months later, deserves its airing and its telling as part of the full story of what this war has meant.
That's David Finkel talking about his book, The Good Soldiers. Finkel is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The Washington Post.